You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester City easily beat Luton Town 5-1 on Saturday to go top of the table. Liverpool falter at home in a crucial match, losing 1-0 at home to Crystal Palace and lose ground in the title race. Arsenal also shockingly drop points at home, losing to Aston Villa 2-0, putting a serious dent in their title hopes. Manchester United continue to stutter, drawing at Bournemouth 2-2. And Newcastle United dominate Spurs behind Alexander Isak's 2 goals, winning 4-0. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Well, before we get to the games, Musty, ahead of this summer's Paris Olympics, our buddy, Pro Soccer Talk's Joe Prince-Wright, is continuing his countdown of the top 10 moments in Olympic soccer history. Head to nbcsports.com/soccer to watch moment number 6, which is Carly Lloyd's gold medal-winning strike for the US women's national team. That was in Beijing in 2008. And stay tuned for moment number 5. That airs this Thursday. So a great series by Joe Prince-Wright. Mm. We'll be looking in on those. But we were looking on this weekend, mate, at what probably is a pivotal weekend in the title running. We won't probably know that till May the 19th when the silverware's handed out, but
was it the craziest Sunday? The craziest Sunday we've ever done. For one day, for shocking. And
well, can I extend that to more than one day? Just think of the goals that went own goals, Rob. Goalkeeping mistakes, goals misses from 5 or 6 yards, hitting posts and not going in goals. I mean, it's been an incredible weekend. Every end of the table, whether you're top, middle, or bottom.
And us like to make look pretty foolish with predictions and what we expected.
This league makes a fool of everyone. Let's start off as the games kicked off this weekend. Let's start with Manchester City. Manchester City were at home to Luton Town. Now, if I'm right, I think Man City beat Luton 6-1 in the FA Cup. Erling Haaland got 5 goals. It was a kind of game where you think, and I said before, I said after the game that in some respects it's a statement by City, although you expect them to win it and not by the team, but the way that they go about their business. And it was 1-0 at halftime, an own goal, Hashioka scored
off
his face, an Erling Haaland blast in his face that nearly took his head off, but ends up only 1-0 at halftime. Luton defending deep, as you'd expect, looking for the odd counter-attack that might come. Colt Morris at the top end of the pitch. And at 1-0 at half-time, Rob, there's still work for City to do.
Didn't we say this last time?
It's still in the balance,
They don't play football. They don't play in the first half. They just play 45-minute games. And those games, 45 minutes in the second half, is another example where they play football, of course, and they were winning 1-0. Then they really step it up, go through the gears in the second half of games to win games quite easily. And listen, we're going to get to all the details and stuff. But when you see City winning games as easy as they do, and also, you know, again, this is in that window where games are going on at the same time. If you look at the lineup, Robert, and there was changes to Arsenal that we'll get to, and a little bit less so for Liverpool, isn't it still down to City's squad? Nobody can rest and rotate.
Nobody can rest and rotate like City as if nothing's happened. It doesn't affect their game plan, doesn't affect their creativity, doesn't affect their goal-scoring ability. You look at again, they've got very few injuries. You know, they rested Rodri, Bernardo Silva, Phil Foden.
Rodri got the rest,
You know, and I know these guys come on oftentimes, but, you know, we'll get to Arsenal in terms of the changes that they made. But it still seems to me that this squad, with a massive caveat, a massive asterisk that it might have been illegally assembled.
Okay, yeah,
and
we know
that. And
we
have to, because I know a lot of our.
We have to put that out. And we continue, and that is the asterisk.
If it's illegally assembled squad, then things are going to change.
Find out that, and opinion.
I wish we knew.
But let's, you know, stick to the football as we are now on what we know. And I'm going to challenge you. An early challenging that. Jeremy Doku, I saw Manchester City play recently. I was over in England. And I've got to be honest to you, mate. Jeremy Doku was not very good, if I'm being honest. He was running down cul-de-sacs.
Everybody has a bad game.
Correct. And I'm not saying, but he'd had a bad little period again. He'd had two or three bad games where you're starting to question, is this good? Yesterday against Luton, Rob, he was outstanding.
Yeah,
possibly the man of the match. He won a penalty. So Guardiola scores a beautiful goal. So Guardiola's an interesting one. Scores against Real Madrid. No world beater, Rob. He's no world beater. He's a really good player. I'm not saying any of them are bad players, but any player who's playing in a Premier League team that's in the running is not a bad player. But what I'm trying to say to you, I don't think I don't think we give enough credit to just saying like, oh, it's his squad. He's got the best players.
Yes. What are you saying? What is your point to me saying that they haven't got the best squad?
My point is that Curtis Jones has good days and is a good player. Harvey Elliott is.
Right.
Zobrazzai is, but he's born.
But they're not as good.
They're not as good. Well, they've shown that for most of the season they could be as good. And so on one day when they have a good day, I don't think we can just. I think it's too easy a label to keep on going, well, he's got the best players, or he's got they've spent the most money. Guardiola was available. Didn't see too many others buying him. Kovacic was available after Chelsea. Didn't see too many others going in.
I agree.
But we keep on saying, well, he's got the best players.
It's good recruitment, then.
It's easy. Other teams have people coming in the team. Jesus comes into an Arsenal team who's an ex-Manchester City title winner and actually doesn't play that well. So he's a good player, but he doesn't play that well. I just think that sometimes we've got to give... You know what? There's more to that he's a best player. There's more to... That Manchester City were 1-0 up at half-time and their football and their drive and their hunger to get the job done gives them a 5-goal win. That's a difference.
So you think it's not so much the squad is better than others or too much better than others.
Yeah.
It's the drive that they have.
Correct.
The experience is from the manager.
Correct.
I mean, the
guy Rodri, remember, was felt so tired that he had to rest. This is a guy
and they change the team, Rob, and they win 5-1.
Yeah, I know. And that's down to them. That's down to them driving and keep on winning. Because they could have drawn that game 2-2. And guess what the first thing you say? Well, some of these players ain't as good as some of the others.
Yeah, but City so many times, Rob, get the results and trying to fight on the Champions League and the Premier League, the way that they can walk us on the bench.
I didn't see that drive from Liverpool. They weren't playing as well. I didn't see that drive from Arsenal second half. They didn't play that well. Whether they're tired, whether Europe, I didn't see that same drive that I see at Manchester City.
And there were some changes in Arsenal, which we'll get to. Yeah. There were some changes in there to try and maybe help that. City change things around. We don't even know from 1 week to the next, Rob, what the team's going to be.
Akanji was in midfield, Rob, and starting and play. He did the John Stones thing.
You know what's interesting? There's another little take on this, right? And we've heard this a lot. And for some situations, this is absolutely true. The goals win games, defence win championships. Yeah. I don't know about that this season. I think it's goals and those who can score.
Along
can
that
win
basis,
games
Liverpool
easily.
Should be.
Man City now have got the most goals scored in the league. Yeah. I mean, only by one, by Arsenal, but some good performances. But I feel like in the tight games, right, where, you know, it's nervy, they need to win the game, Man City just create more. They've got more match winners when they really need it. And goal scorers, with Erling Haaland's the best goal scorer in Europe in terms of the way that he finishes off chances. We get to the other teams again. Of course we will. The next two segments here. But, you know, their ability to take the chances, to not miss from 5 or 6 yards out that the other two teams did on this Super Sunday.
Aren't City a combination of both? I think I read a stat yesterday when we were doing that. The last four winners have either had the best defensive record or joint best defensive record in the league. So there's got to be an attention to that as well.
But don't you think, Rob, that, you know, that the scoring the goals and the multiple goals all the time is what wins the games? It's almost like if you're going to grind, if you've got a great defensive record like Arsenal and you go to City and you get a point.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You know, and they didn't score again today. Well, not again. That's kind of harsh. I don't mean that. But they didn't score today. City's kind of continual goal threat and creativity banging the goals in. They win the 3 points. They win 3 points.
They've got the guy at the top of the pitch who's got the most goals in the league.
Oh, so anyway, we thought we were going to be short on City, by the way. So, but no, it's impressive, Rob, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is impressive. And they go pole position, mate. They go to pole position.
Yeah,
from
pole
third
position
in the league, and we're not too sure. They go to pole. It's mid-April. It's when they do what they do. And... you know what? I think it's 19. We've had 19 changes at the top of the league. I'm not sure we're going to get another.
Well, and this has come about because as we move on, we're doing this in chronological order. This was on Saturday. And as expected, Man City win the game 5-1. Fast forward, Sunday. Sunday, first game, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Me and you in the studio, we're saying things like, you know, at this point in the season, Anfield, Jurgen Klopp, they played the Europa, bit of a bad game, but they've got to be absolutely fired up for this game. And it was a shocker. And the results, you know, like I said at the start there, maybe the most shocking Sunday we've ever had. They lose the game 1-0. Aberceyeze scored in the 14th minute, Rob. Yeah. We expected the huff and puff from Liverpool, which we got to some extent. The chances missed were the story, I think, on this. And Jurgen Klopp afterwards said...
Yeah.
You know, I think you said it, Rob, early on. I think the second chance, save, and you said, is it going to be one of those days for Liverpool? Mm-hmm. Well, it was one of those days where Klopp's looking at it, and I wrote down 4 chances in the second half that were within 7 yards that should have...
You can't really legislate for. A couple of things on that, and I know we the focus is seeing. I've got to go to Palace first. I've got to go to Oliver Glasner.
Don't mind
I've
that.
I've got to go to his setup. He's 3-4-3. I've got to go to his positional play of Eze and Elise that challenged Liverpool in a full-back and midfield area.
Kept the back four really narrow.
And then had Munoz and Mitchell in the wide areas. There's always an outlet. Whose team was set up? Had Jefferson Lerma, my friend. Jefferson Lerma, the midfield player
He's over 30 now.
Playing his left side centre-back of three with Anderson
and Nathaniel Klein, another centre-back.
Right side centre-back. And it was a brilliantly well set up, well planned, orchestrated performance where Palace, listen, could have lost 6-1 and could have won 2-0.
Yeah.
A couple of good chances.
Yeah, just to follow that up, Robin, we were going to do a little analysis on that and the left side. First half, Palace was so good with Eze taking up Conor Bradley.
I did a little breakdown on the tactics session. Oh, did you? Left-hand side, yeah.
Yeah, you should look at that on NBC Sports YouTube channel then, the tactics session, because Mitchell had so much space over there and he got so many crosses in. The goal comes from lovely football. Yeah. I was just, I mean, and I did a little breakdown in the lineup, Rob, about Palace and how they're now under Glasner. They're a different team, and this shows the power of a coach and the difference a coach can make in terms of being on the front foot. I mean, I don't want to use too many buzzwords, but the medium block or a high press is what they do. And again, we saw against Man City, they lost the game, but they had some good opportunities. And it made it very difficult, Rob, for Liverpool to play through that press.
Yeah.
And the football that they played, the front foot nature, and the fact that the front three was Michael Olise, Abraham Chiesa, and Jean-Philippe Mateta is the front three that the Palace fans have waited so long to see with Oliver Glasner as coach, with a 3-4-3. There's your front three. And they delivered on everything that you would expect at Anfield. Yeah. And we've both played at Anfield, Rob. And I got nothing from Anfield. Maybe some draws, I think. I mean, maybe got something in the League Cup. But it's such a difficult place to go and be that brave on the front foot. I mean, yeah, we'll get to Liverpool. Yeah. But rightly so. I thought Crystal Palace were so, so good, impressive. And the new guy, it looks like, and I'm saying this, by the way, on two wins. I think they've only had two wins.
Yeah, this is
new
only
manager.
Second win.
But I'm saying it right now, they've got a good one. Yeah. They've got a good one in Oliver Glasner.
It's a little time, it's a different system, it's a different way of playing.
Yeah.
Should I just get my underappreciated performer?
As we're on Palace. Are you going to do a Palace?
It was a Palace player, and it's my friend Jefferson Lerma. It's Jefferson Lerma, Rob, who played left side centre back. And before the game, I said to Ahmed, this is an area to look at.
Yeah.
Lerma v Salah down that side of the pitch.
When Salah gets past Mitchell.
When Salah gets past Mitchell, we got problems. Mm. We didn't have problems, actually. Jefferson Lerma was incredible. Incredible for Crystal Palace in his defending and his positional play and his drive. And you know, Salah didn't have a great game. So, all round. Underappreciated team of the week would be Crystal Palace. Individual performance of the week, underappreciated performer of the week, Jefferson Lerma.
Amazing. And I just want to, before we move on to Liverpool a little bit more, Joachim Andersen, a centre-back, I thought was outstanding. Mm. Nathaniel Clyne as well. Yeah. And Tyrick Mitchell. Mm. Tyrick Mitchell, Rob. He's 24 years of age, a left-sided player, under the radar. I thought he was excellent as well. The whole back five, they had to get into a five, they did, were brilliant. Brilliant against a front line that we've enjoyed so much at Liverpool.
Unfortunately for Palace, great win, great 3 points. I think, you know, puts Glasner on the map a little bit more. People will understand him. But the talking point is Liverpool, really.
Yeah.
People are going to talk about Liverpool, missed opportunity, missing chances at the top end of the pitch, conceding goals now. I think that's 9 straight home Premier League games they've conceded a goal, Rob. Mm. And you talked about Man City having the ability to shoot the way out of danger.
Yeah.
Liverpool,
we thought, could do that.
Yeah, it's becoming less, isn't it? Or there's a bit more doubt into that now. Mm. Wasn't a Darwin Nunez day.
Nope.
Wasn't a Mo Salah day.
Nope.
Luis Diaz buzzed around, but didn't
really
have quality. Jota, missed a chance.
Missed
a good chance. And then from there, the midfield didn't control the game, and I thought they would. You touched on that, didn't you? An area where they got three
players,
Liverpool against two of Palace. That's an area where they should dominate. Never really happened.
Never did. I mean, again, a lot of it does go back to Palace.
Yeah,
you know.
Settle,
But no, and there was a chaotic nature a little bit to Liverpool, and we've seen that in the last couple of games. They allowed the Man United game to become end-to-end, and they fell to a couple of goals. One mistaken one, great goal from Mainoo. But again, it was a bit of a hare and scare and huff and puff, try and find a way through, and they nearly did. They nearly did. Yeah. I just, you know, we got onto Arsenal, but their football is so, Liverpool's is so kind of fast, and anything can happen, and we'll find a way. They often do find a way with the forward players that they've got. But for some reason, those front players have gone quiet. And Mo Salah, after coming off his recent injury, just doesn't seem to be as threatening or as dangerous. Maybe it's the players behind him, and maybe it's the supply of balls which is lacking when you consider McAllister, Endo. I thought Endo struggled today.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been good. He's been good. And Curtis Jones is back from an injury as well. He was in for Zubizai, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But Konate was there. Yeah. Alisson's back in goal. It's only Trent Alexander-Arnold that probably would be outside of the best 11 for Liverpool. Yeah. He came on and looked better. Liverpool were better in the second half. Mm-hmm. Much better, Jurgen Klopp said. But just couldn't score. They couldn't score at home against Crystal Palace, Rob. And, you know, at this point in the season, the last thing you need is your star players, your difference makers, because let's face it, the front players in Liverpool have been what's really been appealing and effective
you
for them.
Why
they've gone off a little bit. Six games left. They're going to have to win all the games from now on.
You made an interesting point on the broadcast, Rob, that we were talking about it. I think he's got two more home games left in the Premier League, Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. Don't know with Europe now, depending on what happens with Atalanta. Yeah, so, you know, we're starting to close the book and close the chapter. And you talked about the fans and the role that they may have. And Ahmed said, you know, what could go wrong for Liverpool? What might not be right? And you said the fans will have a role to play. And that they didn't really happen today.
Didn't really happen.
The crowd quiet. There was a little bit of a. There was times in the game, but Robin, it was like Palace had some possession and working it. And listen, Liverpool have seen that before. They've been down against Barcelona and come back. Yeah, it didn't. It felt strangely, and it's difficult sometimes because you're in the studio, you're not in the ground. So much better. Like Stephen Warnock and Joe Spate, our commentators there, did a brilliant job on the game, I thought. But just didn't feel like the Anfield that we've. You know, one loss in the last 58 at home or something.
But think back to the Sheffield United game. I think it took like the 75th minute McAllister comes in.
Yeah,
they struggled a little bit. Then the next home game after that is Atalanta. They got beat 3-0, Rob, on Thursday. They got beat 3-0 at Anfield.
Yeah.
And I'm just giving you reasons why the home fans might be like, oh, maybe
we ain't quite good enough.
You thought they'd have really pulled up. But maybe they've seen in the last couple of home games,
maybe
ain't that good. Maybe we're not. It's not quite right for us this year. And maybe this is going to be anti-climax for the manager. It ain't going to be what they all dreamed it would be for this great man who's going to be departing the end of the season. I don't know, because at some point in that second half, I'm expecting Anfield to flipping get behind the team and roar them home. Yeah. And I guess it nearly happened. Mm. You know, the chances, you know, everything
in,
we're saying about this, Rob.
Yeah, one of
because
them
we
goes
do
in,
say, we do talk about results, right? It's 0-1, Crystal Palace at home. But those chances, I mean, another day, I mean, what Jurgen Klopp, and they have created incredible opportunities that they didn't take.
So, again, stats can be done however you want. There's some stat out there, Rob, that says Liverpool's shots at goal, or shots in games, they've scored three more goals than Newcastle, but taking 200 more shots, which is a trend.
Do you know what, mate? I'll be honest here. Stats are starting to annoy me. I'm getting fed up with stats. I'm just getting fed up with stats.
Yeah, but if a stat is
I don't care about stats anymore. I'm fed up with them.
So today, no,
it's
but
so
today,
hard to correlate stats with particular games. Every game's so different.
Of course it is. So today's game would back up the stat that for the amount of chances Liverpool have, they're not scoring enough goals, is the point that the stat is making.
All right.
And today, the amount of chances that Liverpool have,
the goal scores that they've got. So are we back on erratic finishers?
No, I'm just
Salah's not an erratic finisher. Salah's a great finisher.
Yeah, but
Jota's a great finisher.
Despite the goals that they've got, they're having a lot more chances
to get those goals. So today would be an extreme example of...
Correct. Actually, you've had one of those and you didn't get your goal.
But another stat, I mean, they're still goals. The goals scored are right up there. They're like three or four behind. Mm. I don't know. I mean, I think game of football, Rob, is so individual. And I don't know. Any game of football, the ball can bounce a different way. It can spin off a post and spin around a corner and come off two bars and all this. There's so much variables in football that stats... Over even a 38-game period, it's I don't know. I think at this point, I think fans worry about the team's winning the game. I don't care about who scores the goal. Man City had an own goal to start with. They go on and dominate. And Liverpool, we think Liverpool, their attack is the strongest part of their game.
Yeah, but today they lost the game because they didn't take their chances. That's the story of the game.
It is the story of the game, yeah.
Liverpool had the chances to win the game and they didn't take them.
The whole Jurgen Klopp coming to an end thing, it's just astonishing to me that basically nobody knows.
What a week they've got coming up, by the way.
Well, they had a terrible week.
Atalanta on Thursday, away. Wolverhampton Wanderers away at the weekend.
Yeah.
Need to... Well, whatever happens in on what.
I mean,
on
are they going to go for it now, Rob, on Thursday? Would you think if they'd have won the game today, right, and they're sat in a really nice spot, joint top of the league table?
I think they have to, Rob. I think they
now
have to.
Now they have to go to more if they had won. So more losing that game, like, you know what, we might be out the race, but we might find it difficult
to win the,
league. We want this trophy.
We want to do the best we can to get that trophy. And if that doesn't work,
play the best
then you go to Wolves and you deal with that after. Yeah.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah. So Liverpool didn't take the opportunity, Robbie, to stay in the race.
So surely Arsenal must go top of the table, could go 4 points clear and of Liverpool and... It was all set up, kind of.
Yeah, they've known the results. They watched the games. They're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. And to be fair, so the first thing we've got to talk about Robbie Earle. And of course, listen, I understand this gets more of a story with the result. Changes, okay? Now, I said to you just after the game, Rob, in our studio, the team against Bayern Munich on Tuesday at Arsenal was what I think everybody would assume is their best team, right? Yeah. I think we know that Kivior played, White played fullbacks, Jorginho held. Odegaard, Rice as the eights, Martinelli one side, Saka the other side, Kai Havertz has done really well up front. Mm-hmm. That was the team that drew 2-2. Difficult game. Bayern Munich showed up. Like they've been awful this season, but they showed up. Now, Mikel Arteta makes changes. Two changes to that front three. Jesus plays up front. Havertz was in the side, but played in midfield. And Trossard played for Martinelli on the left-hand side. Yeah. Now, I know I'm a smart-ass now, afterwards. But is there anything... Before we get into the details... Why didn't he play the same team?
Well, to answer your question, Pep Guardiola made changes.
Yeah.
And won.
Yeah, so got a good squad. He's got a really good squad.
So you're saying those players weren't as good enough?
No.
I didn't. I've got to be honest. I didn't.
You're
think
okay with that? Those changes. This is not their best team today. It was not Arsenal's best team.
No, I'm not. The changes, not so worried about. The positional. I still would have kept Havertz as the nine.
Yeah.
I would have kept Jesus out on the left-hand side because I think he'll work up and down for it. And I'd put Trossard in midfield. So I'm not so worried about the change. I think the moving of Havertz out of the number nine position was the biggest mistake he made.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he's built a nice rapport and understanding now with
confidence
what's
happening.
Him and Odegaard, the goals were coming. To drop him back into that eight, to play him a little bit
which
deeper
he hasn't,
at
which
time,
he hasn't done well.
That runs... It looked more like the old Kai Havertz.
Yeah. All that being said, right?
Okay.
All that being said, we're in the studio at halftime and Arsenal played well first half. Really well. Moved the ball around. These little short passes are what, for me, is it identifies Arsenal, Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. These little short passes that connect Odegaard's cleverness, everybody else in that final third, Saka down the right-hand side. They didn't score the goal. They had a great chance in Leandro Trossard, Rob, to score from a few yards out. And Martinez, a former Arsenal goalkeeper, throws out a brilliant save there to keep that one out. But at half-time, I'm thinking, you're always going to brush teams away. You're always going to score first. I wasn't worried at half-time. What happened?
The Ollie Watkins hitting the post? Did worry as a little reminder?
Well, we know the quality that Watkins brings. And we'll get. Don't worry, with Villa fans. We'll get on to how good Villa were, by the way. Second half, what happened to Arsenal, Rob? What happened to Arsenal second half?
Lacked energy, lacked pace. When Arsenal don't play with that pace and energy and rhythm...
Quickness.
They become a very different outfit, very different team to play against. And I almost felt Villa got a bit comfortable with them. And the less pace was in the game, the more Villa dominated it, got stronger, made chances, made good runs, had more shots in the game. I know you don't like stats, but the shots are stats. And in the end, we're worthy winners, absolutely worthy winners.
Can you explain the lack of intensity and energy, right? Because if I had my way, maybe it'd have been worse because I would have picked the best team.
So that you're saying that might have been tiredness.
I know that I know that the Champions League is a very important competition, Rob, and I understand that Mikel Arteta is gained his experience from City, and he sees what they do with the rotations, and it kind of is a necessity through parts of the season.
Yeah, of course.
But given where they are and how close they are, is it risky, Rob, to rotate in the hope that people are going to be fresher? Because second half, and there wasn't that many rotations.
Subs were made, and they were still flat.
The
subs, when they were made, wasn't a big an issue. I'll go back to the point. It was the positions that people played in. Because we were watching game, and then you... Because I did the teams and the lineups, which we go. And I said, Habits at top.
Trossard in midfield.
Jesus on the left-hand side. And then you said to me, hey, you need to have a look at this 5 minutes, and this doesn't look like you set up.
Yeah.
That's what, to me, Rob, was the thing that Mikel Arteta... Listen, Mikel Arteta is going to be sitting at home, and I just want to get to him for a moment. And he's going to be... If he has made a mistake with the rotation, he's going to know that. If he thinks, actually, I rotated and I didn't need to, he's going to know that. And it's what happens to him. I think Mikel Arteta now, Rob, this next week... is going to be tested as a top-class manager. He's got a game against Bayern Munich that, at this stage, he dare not. He's got to go for. He's got to go for, Rob.
Yeah, of course.
He's got to go for.
Play your best team.
Yeah, and then he's away at Wolves.
Yeah,
and he's got to go and do the right thing. Now,
and then
what
got
he
Chelsea,
says,
Chelsea on the Tuesday,
how he reacts, that. What he says, yeah, and how he can motivate this group to go again is going to be the test of his management and his maturity. I have been superbly impressed with Mikel Arteta to this point. Now we're talking is he jumping into that elite group?
Well, didn't we say this again? I always remember what Lee Dixon says. Lee Dixon's been there, done it with Arsenal, got title winner's medal, right? Mm-hmm. And to be fair to him, and he said this like 3 months ago.
He said
this
a few times.
You know, it's going to be the last five or six games. That's when it gets like squeaky bum time, right? Yeah. And I think I said a few weeks ago, listen, we ain't going to know until those moments come how much Arsenal have learned from last year, how much they've improved, how much difference Declan Rice makes and having Saliba fit and stuff. And that's obviously still there. But how they react off the back of this is that I couldn't agree more. Because you know what everybody's going to be saying about
bottlers,
the film from last year.
Bottlers,
you know, for whatever reason, they fell away and they're still not quite ready. It is critical. They put a good performance during the week at Wednesday away at Bayern Munich. And the Wolves away game is everything. The Wolves away game is everything. Because if they can win again at Wolves and whatever's at Bayern Munich to keep it tight... Because it is still tight,
they're
by the way.
They're still in it, aren't they?
They're two points behind. They're one game swing.
They're still in it.
And there's six games left. But what they can't afford to do, Rob, is go to Wolves and lose.
Yeah.
Because then all
Even
of a sudden...
Even City...
Yeah, but the incredible hope. Yeah. And there's so many Arsenal fans. There's so many Arsenal fans in this region and in America that are so optimistic and encouraged. And we have been this year.
Of course we have,
to lose another game and it feel like, oh, it's all going to... is the last thing they need. But anyway, positive. Yeah. Aston Villa.
Yeah, wow.
Whew.
Wow.
I mean, their second half was... They forced Arsenal back, played some brilliant football.
Let's just talk about the fellow in charge there, Rob, just to even things up as well. 1,001 games he's had. He had his 1,000th game as manager midweek against Lille in the Conference League. Mm. His team, Rob, were... sort of hung in at times and you know, goalkeeper made a couple of great saves. They're expertly set up. They absolutely know what they're doing when they hit on the counter. They build up through midfield. So if you go too narrow, they play in the wider areas. If you get spread out, they play you through the central areas. It's Ollie Watkins is absolutely perfect for the way that Unai Emery's team is set up. And whether it's Diaby, Bailey comes on and has big moments, Zaniolo has moments. The kid who's come from Middlesbrough, Rodgers, looks a player.
Looks really good.
Looks a find. And it's a back four that know what they're doing, Rob. He deserves so much credit. And all the focus today was on title running. The three big teams, Man City, Liverpool. By the way, Aston Villa, fourth in the league, Champions League, is important to them and is a story. And Unai Emery and his team deserve the headlines as well. They could now finish in fourth spot, guaranteed Champions League football. It's incredible.
It is incredible. And by the way, just in terms of teams and rotations, they played Thursday, 2 days after Arsenal play Bayern Munich, and I know it's Lille and not Bayern Munich, so I understand that. But almost, and I got the teams here, almost the same team. I think there's one change.
Douglas Luiz couldn't because he was suspended.
Yeah, so John McGinn slots back into midfield. So they played a pretty much the same team, and they got stronger in the second half, something that's very, very strange and hard to, you know, how they got so much better in the game. My underappreciated performer is Morgan Rodgers. And again, from Middlesbrough, my club, and...
No bias there.
No, I'm just no bias there. No, but I'm surprised how well he's done. Mm. I didn't think he would be like straight in the side. Unai Emery's played Morgan Rodgers straight from the start. I think it was $19 million for Middlesbrough. He plays in a really important attacking midfield position. I think the first game he played for Villa, I remember it, and he looked a little shaky. And you've always liked him.
Yeah.
But the way that he's coming to this team in big games now and he's getting more comfortable, played in a different position, played on the right-hand side, dropping into midfield, or just away from Ollie Watkins as the deep striker. He keeps the ball well. Yeah. He's got good size. He scored a lovely goal the other week
with his left foot into that corner.
This is one of those underappreciated, but more one to watch.
Yeah.
One to watch, Rob, because I love a young player coming into a league, and particularly into a club like Aston Villa, which is a brilliant club and a great team with a great manager. I just think he's one to watch. I just wanted to give him a mention.
Yeah, made him more consistent.
Morgan
working Rogers. With a coach like Unai Emery, Rob, he's only going to get better.
He's going to get minutes. He likes him, plays him a lot.
So, top three.
Amazing.
I mean, what a weekend. What a boost for Manchester City, Rob.
If we just quickly back to Arsenal in terms of the big picture, Rob, let's have a quick minute on that. Arsenal, would you agree that Arsenal now and Liverpool have to win every game?
Yeah, almost.
Can you see Man City losing one of the final six? Really difficult.
I can see him drawing. Yeah,
one.
You say maybe draw. I can see him winning out.
Of course they can, but if they're going to drop something, it'll be a draw. So that's 2 points. Yeah. So Arsenal will catch them. They got a better goal difference.
Can catch them if they win out.
But let me just say some of the games they've got. They've got Chelsea. They got Tottenham away, North London derby.
They got Man United.
I think Man United away. Now Man United are a little bit. You don't know what you're going to get. They got to win all those. If they do it from here, like
fair play. Yeah,
fair play.
They've gunned City down.
I mean, City are big favourites now. Rob.
They were favourites, Rob, when they were third, and they were a couple of points behind in the same games. Absolutely clear.
The Liverpool thing is astonishing to me. I remember looking at the TIG league table. They're 2 points ahead when
I think the other two players were favourites now with two points
with that momentum, and that's how quickly this league changes. Amazing. Amazing Sunday.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's talk to a team that always a headline, mate. It was Vitality. It was Bournemouth 2, Manchester United 2. Never quite. I'm just letting you shake your head and laughing because talk to me about Manchester United. The first 45 minutes and where we are in the Erik ten Hag developing this football club, moving this football club forward. Or not, is the case, maybe.
Of all the things I've learned in the game, Rob, from playing, from the coaching badges I've done, both at the UEFA level and here in the US Soccer Federation level, the one thing that's a common, really, is that the objective of the game, when you have possession, right, it's good to spread out
so
you can create passing avenues and you make players available and there's spaces to try and pull opponents apart. And when you don't have the ball, you kind of... you want the opposite. Yeah. You want to be tight, so it's hard for opponents to play through your lines or play anywhere because you're nice and tight. I have never seen a Premier League team that are so spread out.
Yeah. Now, this is nothing new,
and this has been pointed out before about, you know, Maguire wants to be deeper. The front players want to press high, and you have this incredible distance in between. Now, that just means that every team that play against Man United are going to get chances and opportunities because there's space to play. Yeah. And we had the number, Rob. What is it? Before this game, here it is. It's 554 shots faced by Man United, right? Which is the second most in the Premier League behind last place Sheffield United. Yeah. So, I mean,
I might not like that stat, by the way.
I mean, I like that stat.
I was going to say, I thought you don't like stats.
Yeah,
only when you use them.
Yeah. So we saw more evidence of that, Rob, in the first half that I labelled as embarrassing, right? And in all what we do here, I try and be really respectful and not be too critical in a harsh way because I understand what it's like. I have never seen United as bad as that first 45 minutes, and I know the scoreline wasn't awful, but just in terms of
they were 2-1 down,
organisation. And with Eric Tiger on the sideline, just looking like a blank face that wasn't animated.
Tell me a couple of things here. And again, it's not pile on United. It's trying to actually explain what's happening and how things may or may not improve. Tell me how Andoni Iriola can go in at Bournemouth with a group of players who are not as talented as Man United players, whatever you say, and create an identity way of playing that you can see and understand, whether they win, lose or draw, Rob. He was manager of the month last month and great. But I'm talking about how does that happen at one club, isn't happening at the other. And then tell me that how can you have a week, you've got no European football, you've got no, how can you have a week of preparation and see that? If you're a player, Rob, and that's happening, you're talking about when we're playing, I'll be going to gaffer, what's going on? Or you'd be asking in training, like sometimes you're inquisitive, like why are we doing this? You know, what work are we doing? Yeah. How's that going to help me on at the weekend?
Well, the only way I can explain it is that there's changes at the football club. We did hear that the staff and
John
the back
Murty's
room.
Gone now,
yeah,
hasn't
we
he?
Don't know what's going on. There's new ownership. Nobody knows if they've got a job.
That's affecting what's happening on the training pitch.
The players the same? Are the players the same? Did they look like they were running around for the manager? They look like they're playing for the manager. Mm. Is the manager experience that we've had with different situations at the club with players on and off the field? It doesn't look like the players are really that bothered right now, which is an incredible thing to say. Bruno Fernandes was bothered.
Yeah.
You know, for whether people like his antics and he's a very emotional player, at least he runs around a lot. Yeah. At least he's trying to make things right. But other players, between youthful and finding it difficult in this situation, I'm thinking of your Hoylands, your Garnachos didn't have a great game. Mainoo in midfield as well, that's difficult when he's encouraged, by the way, he is encouraged, Mainoo and forward, Bruno to run forward, and your insurance policy is Casemiro, who's been a brilliant player, but at 32 years of age, he's with those distances that we talked about from the front to the back, he's got to cover these huge amounts of area, which is the manager's tactical situation. From attitude of the squad, things are changing, to the tactics of the manager, to the profile of some of the players being a little older and some being allowed to run forward as much as they want and not that bothered about running back. You ended up with a game, like a game of two ends of the field, in the defensive
end. Under-10s football,
and then
it?
A game at the other end when they won the ball. Yeah, so, I mean, better second half, Rob, where I thought Man United, I'd describe it, they went from awful to average. They had some decent shape, a little bit more together, and they looked a little better. But still, even the second half, it wasn't as though Man United finished strong and they looked like they
I was sort of listening to a few radio shows last night and you're trying to pick up a feed up and I kind of in my head was thinking, Rob, has there been a game or a couple of games where you've seen United, you know, certain teams can almost cruise at a certain point, we're 2-0 up, we'll cruise, you know they stop the opposition, control the opposition, you know, Man City do it, Liverpool do it. We're talking about that's where United won a game. I always feel like United are like at full stretch to get a draw, and it's all out. There's never no control, comfortable possession and keeping the ball.
Yeah,
and
you can control the game with possession.
Yeah, with possession, yeah.
They're not great at that, and I think the manager says that they're not really built for that. They're built for transition football. They want to be the greatest transition team in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then the control comes from defensive shape and structure like a Mourinho type of deal where we're really strong defensively and we're sprung, ready to hurt you on the counter. That would be that side of it. Mm-hmm. So I think at times...
Is he caught between the two? Is he caught between being at Manchester United and thinking we have to play a bit?
I don't think he... Maybe. But I don't think they're good at... They're certainly not good at possessing and bossing like an Arsenal is or a Man City is or sometimes a Brighton is, that style. But they're not good defensively, are they? If they were really, really strong defensively and were tight and then they had the Garnacho and Rashford and Bruno playing the balls in, I kind of don't mind it. Yeah. I prefer the proactive... creative, expansive football, but if a team's good at doing that side of it, but they haven't shown that. Yeah. So I don't know where he goes, Rob, where I want to be a transitional team, but we're not very strong defensively to be effective at that. Because when you're defensive, you're going to invite pressure and stuff from the opponents.
To give him some kind of out, they've been missing a lot of players. Martinez,
yeah, they are.
Varane,
defenders.
Lindelof,
Luke Shaw
would make a difference. Would make a difference in that defensive area.
Yes, accepted, but the distances and stuff. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that space and different players might. But the manager, I mean, surely managers like
close it up.
So I don't know. I can't see how Ineos, the new kind of owners in some ways, the guys in charge of the football side, I don't know how they would continue with Erik ten Hag.
I mean, we're talking Champions League, weren't we? That would probably be the thing
I said that a few, but I mean, that's
he's now
not
in
happening.
What's seventh spot?
That's not happening. Champions League's not happening. Fourth or fifth, they're 10 points behind.
Yeah.
Six games to go. That's not happening. I mean, listen, a podcast for another day in terms of who would be the right guy for Man United, and I understand there's not many of them that would maybe be right, but I think it'd be wasted time if they continue with Erik ten Hag into next season. I just don't see enough. And the backward step from last year, which was good, to this is astonishing to me. And seventh place right now, 23 points off the top. And the way that what you see with your eye, I don't see it continuing. Do you? Do you see any way he continues?
I just think the guy who's come into the football club, running the football side now, just a gym, is he wants best of class in what he does, mate. He's put good people in places, and I'm afraid I think he's going to find a coach who's more suited to what he wants in his ambitions. Let's talk about a really interesting game, Rob. It's at James's Park, Newcastle v Tottenham. Two teams I was sort of wrote in my notes would have, I think at the start of the season, similar ambitions. I know Newcastle within Champions League, Tottenham had no European football, which might have been a benefit to them. Another total surprise, Newcastle 4-0 against Spurs. Newcastle were excellent in the Eddie Howe mode. Considering how many players he's got out as well, by the way. He's got another team that's out.
Yeah.
Against the Spurs team, Rob, and I thought you made a really important point, I'll let you expand on it, where you said the sparkle isn't quite there.
Yeah, well, a few things, I think, with them, Remember at the start, there was sparking. And James Maddison was, loving football, and we were like, wow, this is incredible what they're doing. Whilst accepting that it's kind of risky, I know you kind of thought, and this kind of would back up your argument, like, I know it is fun to watch, but I don't know if that's sustainable. I don't know if that's sustainable. And it was sustainable and mostly successful being in the top four, because of the two central defenders, Romero and Van de Ven, that are perfect incredible, in some ways for how they play, because when it does turn over, they leave two centre-backs back, two players back. And their pace and the aggressive nature of those two have been okay. Now, so two things have to go wrong. The football from Spurs to have a bad day.
Yeah, it's give the balls away, turnovers loose.
Transition turnovers is their problem. Yeah. And then if your defenders have a bad day, then you've got a real problem. Yeah. And Mickey van der Ven... After me, I mean, this is getting crazy now, where I pick out a player before the game. Yeah. Like, this guy's been really good. It was Mickey van der Ven on the field.
Yeah.
He's been superb, one of the best signers of the season. And I'm sorry, but I put a curse on these players. He had an absolute shocker. He had a nightmare. His worst game in a Spurs shirt, slipping over, get caught out of position, like for the second goal.
Yeah.
the ball went over, Isak's second goal.
Yeah.
So those two things, bad football, okay, we're into transition. Defenders usually help us out. They didn't.
Yeah.
And it was a great game plan from Eddie Howe, and he said about it afterwards.
Yeah.
He made big changes. You picked out the.
He went to back three, didn't he? He went back three out with possession, and then a back five out of possession to stop those fullbacks, Udogie and Porro, coming in. He got extra numbers in midfield, and then when they won that, those quick turnovers with their possession, they went over the top to Isak and Gordon and Barnes.
Gordon and Barnes.
Who were all quick,
very fast.
All very fast.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I love Ange, and you're right. He's brought a sparkle back to Spurs that we hadn't seen under the other managers, despite whether they're winning or losing games. I'm just at the point, Rob, and I hate to go I've not stopped believing. I've just started to say that it's starting to get a little bit annoying. Like he's adamant. And I'm not saying
He was angry after the. He
was
angry. It was a bad day.
Yeah, it was a bad. It was a bad day. Most things were. But isn't he allowed to just say, actually, it's not a good day today. I'm just gonna do this. To keep doing that, regardless of the scoreline, regardless of the position, regardless of where you're standing in the league, he's gonna keep doing the same thing.
But better. He wants you to do it better.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to give the ball away.
He
wants the defenders to defend.
I understand that. Mm. But some days, Rob, we've all played football.
Yeah.
You give it away. You start playing and you give it away.
Yeah, but what does that mean, though? So for those bad days, you want to change the philosophy and the
tactical? No, I don't want to change.
I'm not saying
this. These are international, high-quality, high-technical players. I'm saying on days when, actually, we keep giving it away and they keep getting in behind us. Isak and Gordon keep exploiting us.
You want them to go to a plan B,
something,
C.
A half different, plan, different. Just a tweak.
I know, we said this, but we've
yeah,
had this.
Just
had this
a
before.
Little tweak that says, okay, it's not our daily. Madison's not winning the ball, you know. We're not hurting him down the wide areas. Porro and Udogie are not getting
they
on the ball.
They didn't have good games, yeah. Yeah, Madison wasn't.
No. Affected. Wasn't prominent at all.
Yeah, I think he admitted it's his worst day.
Yeah.
And he said it was a really bad day at the office. And he said like food for thought this.
Mm.
It's food for thought. And whether he rethinks his philosophy, you know, maybe into next season and has something a little different, maybe only one of the fullbacks goes crazy.
Yeah, yeah,
whether
yeah.
he tweaks it, that's a sign of
a
bright manager.
Bright,
and
progressive manager
at
who
this
sees
level,
this
in this league.
And realises actually away from home in certain places.
Mm. Can I just finish on with this game? The Newcastle United striker.
Yeah, I'm glad you've went. I'm glad you.
Well, he's 24 years of age, Swedish centre forward, and outside of Alexander Isak, and I'm sorry, Ollie Watkins, I think he's the best nine.
Outside of Alexander Isak?
Outside of Haaland.
Sorry, yeah.
And I apologise to
Ollie Watkins.
Because his numbers are.
Yeah, he's.
You know,
he's
got 19 now, 19. I think. I think he's the second best number nine.
Isak,
yeah.
At 24, yeah.
And I think he's got the potential with the way that he plays. He's a centre forward that I particularly like.
He's a modern centre forward.
Well, yeah, but he's different to
Tony, who's I think a little
Tony,
bit more old-fashioned.
Different to Watkins.
Yeah,
he's got a little swagger about his play, and I know that Arsenal may be looking for a centre forward, and I knew Newcastle United and Eddie Howe, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But if there is a centre forward that if anybody asks me who should Arsenal go and buy.
Yeah.
It's Alexander Isak.
Mm.
He's got the class, the quality, the skill, the talent, the goal scoring, the age, the future to be a brilliant striker at Arsenal and maybe a couple of others. And I'm not saying he's going to go, but I'm forever impressed by a guy.
Well,
I like a striker that can do something like, wow.
Yeah.
And he's got that, isn't he?
Absolutely. And I don't disagree. What I would say, and to add to your point, though, what I would say is if Newcastle United are ambitious, you know, Joe Ellington's just signed. Bruno's signed. He's one of them you build a team around.
Totally.
And by the way, with what could be happening up there, I'm the number nine at Newcastle, Rob. We know you'll be loved. You're legend, ain't you?
Yeah.
You're legend for life.
Yeah. And just, again, before we move on, Rob.
Like, I just want one more player there. One more player at Newcastle.
Okay, well, it might tie in what I'm going to say. Because there's so many injuries all season, we haven't really seen the true Newcastle United.
No, not
we
since
haven't.
Very early
we haven't
on.
Tonali yet.
No, yeah,
we haven't had Isak's had injury issues. Harvey Barnes, a new signing, is. So you know, I'm excited to see them next season now, like, and what they're just starting to find their form. They might get Europe, some kind of European place, but it's still, it was such a shame because they built up the squad, some good signings, ready for this campaign of Champions League, and there's so many injuries that end up being a very difficult one.
A few kids come through.
Yeah.
I just want to go to Anthony Gordon, mate. Anthony Gordon, who is becoming sneaky important to the team, was brought in, and we know he had the issues initially, you know, with Eddie and highly strung when he came off one game, and people were thinking, Rob, he plays either side of the pitch. He's played centre forward. I've seen him in the League Cup against Man United. He was outstanding. His attitude looks spot on. He, Rob, right now, for me, is ahead of James Maddison to get in the England squad for the
year. Yeah, Madison's had a real bad period. It's a good point, and I think there's full of them, you know, whether it's Harvey Barnes. I mean, think about midfield. I mean, Bruno Guimarães, by the way, is brilliant.
Yeah.
He's just a really top midfield player. You've got Sandro Tonali, the Italian, to come back next year, possibly, hopefully, probably.
Lewis Miley's done well this
year. Lewis Miley's come in and has had a breakout season. Defensively, maybe need another couple of defenders, maybe. Mm. But they ain't far away from being a really, really good team if they stay fit and healthy. All right, mate, let's just wrap around some of the other games.
Yeah.
You know, so West Ham United, nil, Fulham 2. Fulham, funny team, Fulham.
Pereira,
you never know
a couple
what you're
of goals
get,
in like, there, yeah. Well played, though. You know, no relegation problems, 42 points, 12th in the league. Well done, Marco Silva.
West Ham, just quick line on West Ham United. David Moyes, is he good? We go 1 week? Like,
There was some talk, wasn't there, this week of they're honing in on a target.
Yeah, I did. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
A foreign coach, was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems unfair on David Moyes. I just see David Moyes saying that, you know, he said, like, in an interview, I know there's been more exciting managers at West Ham, but I win more.
Okay.
I win more. Yeah. And he's right. I mean, West Ham United...
2-0 down to Leverkusen, though, aren't they, in the Europa? So, obviously, that's a tough one, the way that they're going, Leverkusen, as well. Nottingham Forest 2, Wolves 2. I know you're watching this game. It was some game, wasn't it?
It was a great game. I like both teams. Mm. I like both managers. You know, I just do. Nottingham Forest, Rob, real quick, I don't want to be too long on it's been a long show right now. I feel they're so close, Nottingham Forest. They're so close, like, to being really good, front foot. I love the atmosphere at the City Ground. The Forest fans are totally up for it. I like the manager. I love the attacking line. Alanga was out, a small injury, I think, in the last game against Tottenham. So Gio Reyna came in. There were some flashes from him, some flashes, some shots. He came really narrow from the right-hand side to play in and around Morgan Gibbs-White. Hudson-Odoi looked bright. Chris Wood's a goal scorer. You know, Danilo scored from midfield. I kind of like them. They're so close. But Gary O'Neill at Wolverhampton Wanderers continues to impress us, Rob. Tactically, he did have Matheus Cunha back that made all the difference, scored a couple of goals for them, ended up 2-2. But it was a really entertaining game of football. Yeah. And that's where we are now, Rob, in the Premier League. Yeah. That wherever you look up and down the league table, entertaining football, goal scorers, bright managers. Yeah. It was a really good game. And unfortunately for Forest, of course, need those points to get away from the relegation zone. The goal came from the two goals from Cunha, made it a 2-2 and only a point. But I still believe in what I'm seeing with Forest. And I think, you know, we'll see what happens with the points appeal, whether they get anything back. But it was a good game. It was a really good game.
Burnley 1, Brighton 1. I think two goalkeeping errors for me on this one. Van Bruggen came out and kind of hit Brownhill. Ball goes in the net. And then Muric, I mean, Rob, 70 minutes on the clock for Burnley. It's just disaster time for Vincent Kompany and Burnley, that he makes a real error. And with it goes another 2 points. Brighton lost a little bit of that sparkle, Brighton, from early in the season, but take a point on the road. Burnley dropped 2. And Brentford 2, Sheffield United 1.
Big win for Brentford.
I heard that the owner came down after the game, give Thomas Frank a big hug. Benham, is it the owner? Because it just felt as though, like,
they were getting a little bit
close.
Did he come down?
Apparently came down.
That's unusual.
To give him a big hug and that, how important the game was.
I feel like now, they're on 32 points. When you're into 30s nowadays, you need another 3 or 4 points, and they should be okay. Is that it, my friend?
That's it, my friend.
There's one more game, isn't there?
Remind you, tomorrow there's one more game. We'll be working on that. It's Chelsea v Everton. Two teams with plenty going on around the scenes in both clubs. Pochettino always under pressure. Everton with the points deduction, and Sean Dyche wanting to get things right and get some points on the board. So we'll be looking forward to that one. But, mate, it's been a dramatic weekend in the Premier League as ever. Manchester City do what City do. They win. But Liverpool and also my feet, they lose and give City top place in the Premier League. We'll be back next week, match week 34. We'll have the Premier League games and also two FA Cup semi-finals from Wembley. Man City play Chelsea, Coventry play Manchester United. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him.
Good night.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.